Hello.
Hello, this is Marty.
Marty, it's Joanne.
Joanne, yeah, nice to hear from you.
It's wonderful to hear from you. It's been a long time.
Yes, and I hope you are doing good those days.
I'm doing well. How about you?
Okay. Good. Everything, we are lucky that, we can work from home, so it's already a good thing, no? But yeah, like if you see how many places are doing, it's many people, it's terrible. So it's a difficult moment for sure.
It certainly is. Where are you?
I mean, like at home. So we have the studio around, like in Brooklyn. So I live in Carroll Gardens and
okay.
Gowanus, like just in the front there.
So I see.
We've been here for a long time. So we have the studio, 30 minutes. In theory, we should be able to go there, but so far we've been working at home. And now lately we are moving a little more to the studio. So,
have you made any new discoveries in your work over this period of time?
I would say, it's like they say, and I always remind me when you have, when you receive an email that bothers you or shakes you somehow, you don't want to respond immediately. You need to, think about the moment, no? And then you respond in a few hours or the next day, no? So it's a little like that. I feel like it's happening, but not there yet in the table, you know?
I understand.
So it's like I need that process that will definitely come, but I'm like at that moment, no? But yes, of course, I'm digesting a lot of things that will come as work, for sure, or like many people, I imagine.
Some artists have had to change their process.
Yeah.
Because they've been confined to smaller spaces or not near their studios, and so they're having to resort to other methods, and that's been, I guess, fruitful for some. So
yeah,
that's why I asked the question.
But I do think that what's already happening in New York, for example, I do think it's such an expensive city that you can see the difference between regular artists, meaning artists who are not rich or not having these, big galleries behind them, that they are getting to a more intimistic world, because where are you going to storage if you, this whole 80s doing big thing? I think already, it was a process for many artists getting a little smaller, more intimistic, and some artists that they have all the possibilities, they are more monumental and big, no? So it's already, I think it was already happening.
I see, yeah.
And I see it in different artists, with that tendency that is probably related to you don't have big studio, the storage is more complicated, life is more, it's much more expensive in a city like New York, no?
Right.
So maybe it's an acceleration of that, no?
Maybe. I'm really grateful that you were able to take some time to speak with me today. It's been a long time. I miss you. I watch your work all the time. Of course, pleased that you're in the collection. And now to add your voice to the collection along with some of your work will have great advantages for students who engage with the collection. Sorry?
No, it's a great idea to bring those talks for education. No? It's a good idea. I like it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to go way back to your early years and learn a little bit more about your history. I want to ask you, when and how did art begin to enter your life?
It was in my family. And in my family through generations, just like through my mother's side, I will say. And my great-grandparents were like two brothers, one painter and his brother was a sculptor. And then the sculpture was like those kinds of city sculptures where in Barcelona you can see his sculptures in the streets. Yeah, it's like a man with a horse, or you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of
right.
Thing. And then the brother who was the painter was like the line that I come from. And then my mother, who was the granddaughter of this painter, she was she's an illustrator. I have a brother who illustrates for children too. So it's been there were no escape. It's meant to be, and it's wonderful. It's a lucky thing, no? That I did have. So, but not all we are poor brothers, and not all of them. Like one is a scientist in genetics, the other is a journalist, and then me, and then a younger brother who's into the art field or like illustration. So, yeah, it's been there. It's been there for a long time.
So what did you do? What were you drawing when you were young?
All the time.
Same thing?
Like, all the time. Like, I think there is, I will say this because my wife, who's Celeste, who's an artist too, she will not draw because her source, she like her basis from photography, so that comes a little later always, no? When, so in my case, because my base is drawing and painting. Yes, you start very early doing those things, like all kids. So I think.
So you identified as an artist from a very young age.
Not as an
never?
Artist.
No.
Like not in the early age. Like uh-huh. Just draw.
Okay.
The artist idea, like the professionalization of the thing, I don't know when it came, much later. Like. It will be all the sources at home to draw, no papers and pencils, and you will see my mother doing it, and my parents will definitely put accent to that, no. So,
mm-hmm.
very early, I will draw all the time. So,
did you study something else in school, in college?
I did, yeah, like you know. High school and then college, fine arts. And in Barcelona, we have only one place you will go. So the public university.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, it was near for free for me because my parents were teachers, and at those years, being coming from both teachers, it will help you to have a near free college. It was wonderful. Something that is hard to see now, no?
And so what were you producing in college?
It's interesting because I went to, there were like different sections, one more focused on photography and film, the other more design and painting, and then sculpture, no? So I was in that painting section, but then somehow I was interested and I put my feet onto the sculpture side. I don't know why. And I did a little 3D things, objects and things. So, yeah, I was mostly on painting. And I don't know, I was not there yet, let's say like that. No? So I need to, I remember some students, they were like very, very good on a confined place with teachers. And some other students, we need to get out of the confined place to start really getting to something, no?
Right.
And I think it happens, more personality starts after the college, I would say.
When you think about your training in sculpture back then, do you recognize that it influenced your drawing ability?
I think there is definitely a correlation, and I do think that it's like things happen, it's like in your life, no? Things happen somehow in different fires, and then slowly all these things are getting connected or they get into a place. And finally, I do have in my work a lot of things that, yeah, that has a 3D feeling or 3D, like there's to me, I do see it. I see it later, that connection. Like I really, 3D objects or sculpture or whatever you can say, it's in my work for sure. No?
Well, certainly in some of the hyper-realistic drawings where you're, you know, I have one of the aspen trees where you see these industrial materials that have a sculpture. Yeah, exactly. I'm interested. Do you have occasion to look back at some of the early work that you produced as you were going through school and working towards a career?
What do you mean? Like when?
Do you look
now?
Back at your old work?
Oh,
you have a lot of your old work, and do you look at it?
Yeah, to the level of college work or work you said, like few years.
Well, through the way back when, through the years, do you have occasion to look at what you were doing through various ages and stages?
I do. Not only I do that, if not, I do believe that it's important to do it, at least to me. Because I never, I do think there is some, you've seen some artists that it's a clear line, path, like they just walk straight, no? And then the path is a line that keeps going, and they arrive to a place, no? Or like a personality or a universe. And in my case, I walk in circles. And I think I do have to always, somehow I always go back to other things and I incorporate them, or I like, because I never leave far what's in my past. If not, I constantly confront them, and I use them, no? Those things with I was doing in some other time. And it's because I work, I keep walking in circles.
Can you tell me three elements in your artistry, however many, could be one, I don't care. But I'm interested in what elements in your artistry have persisted from the beginning.
That's a hard one. I was trying to prepare myself for your question. That's a good one.
I didn't want you to be too scripted. I want you to think about it on the fly.
Yeah, no, I do think there is one element, and it's more abstract than concrete. It's the relationship between artificial and natural. This organic and like the opposite of organic, straight. That
manufactured, I guess.
Manufactured, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good word. I do see that in over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know, the carnivores, the forests, the ones that you with the minimal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And even back then, I think I don't know about the formalizing their concept project, but I think it's an intervention somehow. It's like stepping on something that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
But elevating it.
Elevating it, it's an optimistic word, or even transforming it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little an appropriation, but to bring it to another place, and that place is probably could be elevated or not. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm trying to elevate,
it or somehow. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe frame it. And sometimes I use, let's say my an old image that I found from some other times, and I bring it to the present through a transformation. I don't know. I know what kind of transformation, but I think there is that always. I see, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to. It's a big question because I always fear that I'm a little too neurotic. You know, like
right.
sometimes I feel like I'm a little dispersed on how I function. So it's good to see links that puts all these things together.
Is there another, or those are that's what you see? I mean,
I think the. Well, there is the chest, like the time factor. I do think there's always a time factor. I, for example, in formalizing, I will dissect like the process of making in three drawings to accentuate that time passing in, let's see, the... Well, now I'm doing something that doing a project on Polaroids. I'm painting on the Polaroids because to me the Polaroid
right.
has the time in its own object. Because to see a Polaroid first, you need to wait until it gets print. No, it's like a like the combination between a slow and fast. Like for example, the cardboard when I will paint the rib. It's a gesture, finally. Like, you rip a cardboard in, like, 1 second. And then the painting that very slow, it's that combination of time that's, it. I think it's there, too, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you're looking at the past, the present, and the future.
Yes.
Bringing them together somehow.
That's great. I that's very good. No, it's I liked it's just the eternal what they call eternal return, which things from the past they always come back somehow, not exactly like they were, but they corrupt the present. No, like it keeps, and I think I do that with my work all the time. Like
it's interesting that you. Talk about this because I was just working on a project with the collection in preparation for a presentation that I was supposed to give in Europe that didn't happen. But I used your drawing of Kamnitzers.
Yes.
And when I was trying to put this project together, I came on that drawing and realized that that drawing is a metaphor for the whole of my collection.
Interesting.
Because of the question that drawing and Kamnitzer's conceptualized is at the root of how my collection has been built. Does that make sense to you?
It's
because it poses the questions of what is drawing, what is a work on paper, and
yes.
and I'm always constantly pushing boundaries.
That's very good. It's the photographer, no? The photographer.
Yes, right.
Yes. I do love that. Yes, I think it's...
Is it a painting? Is it a drawing? Is it a sculpture? You know, those three pieces of paper.
Yes, and I think you... Yeah, because it's interesting because the other day with Celeste, we were wondering, it's your collection about drawing? But it's not exactly that, no?
It's, you know, it started out as drawing, but it's basically contemporary abstract works on, of, and about paper.
So it's what's the category of that nowadays, no? Because everything it's like corrupt by its own media, no? Like it's a thing on paper, like for example, when you say my painting on cardboard.
Yeah, I mean, that's in the collection. For me, that's still it. You know why I say it's a drawing?
Yeah.
Because anything of paper goes into a museum, it goes into the prints and drawings department.
Yes.
Mostly because of archival needs.
Yes.
And so I have adapted that notion so that if it's work on paper, loosely, I call it a drawing.
That's wonderful. It's interesting because now you just point my third thing, which is...
Good.
the confusion about techniques. Like meaning when you can paint like drawing, you can draw like painting, you can like you can portray an object, for example, like let's say you make a photography of an object for a museum, you know, as archive, I'm sure you do that all the time. This photography, it could be its own, you know, piece.
Right.
Because it depends how you take this photo of that object. That object is going to be one thing or another thing, no? So I think this whole archiving and the way how we portray the art, it's interesting to me and to you for sure, because it's like how we see, no? How we are.
And that's really up to the individual. I mean, I have work that I read as a drawing, where Liz, who works for me, will read it as a painting.
Yes.
And so to me, as long as I'm making the decision for what comes in the collection, there's a constancy. No, I think the canvasser piece you did really speaks to the heart of the struggle that I deal with every day in determining what is suitable for the collection, because it's always moving beyond the obvious. And I think somewhat that's part of what you're doing as well.
Yeah, even though I will give the credit to Kamitzer first.
Yeah.
I give a little layer to it, no? When you draw,
you nod your cap to Kamitzer.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny with Kamitzer because he came to my show with all that specific show, no? And the first thing he told me, like, I'm gonna call the lawyers. I was in shock. I didn't know what to say. He was joking, of course.
I have another question for you. I'd like you to describe to me an important transformative moment in the development of your work.
I think coming to New York, like living Barcelona or my own place, it makes a big, it's a big factor to me, like a big.
How old were you?
32.
Okay.
So, because what happened when you go from, you know, you're like immigrant, when you go to a place to another place, what happened over the years is that you end not being part of the place where you live, and you're never exactly the place where you are, no? Like your mind, it gets into the middle, and then I do think that middle ground, it's a state of mind that I relate to what art is about. Meaning, art has all what your experience is about, but somehow it's in between places, no? It's never exactly in one place. It has no nationality somehow, no? And I think that state of mind I have since I left, it affects my work for sure.
Can you tell me how?
Probably trying to... I still kept what's inherited in my culture, you know, like meaning European, even my grandparents, which the painter was painting landscapes, like, you know, those years will do, and European history of painting, and what I see in this new world, which is minimalism, American thinking, even sense of humor, which is different than there's a lot of things that I see, they all melt in the like for example the piece you have about the forest and the lines.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that, like this minimalist influence. You know, you can say Solowit is there, but at the same time there is the tradition of where I come from.
You know, it raises another question for me. Because you have the European experience of
yes.
being a professional, being in the art world, and you have the American experience, what do you see as the difference? Is there a difference?
A huge difference. I do.
Can you tell me about that?
I think differences, like one very practical that to me it reads a bigger thing. Like, for example, with Celeste, my wife, in the beginning we will talk, and then I will interrupt her all the time, in a sense that she will start speaking, and then I will say something, and then what happened, and then I realize why, and then Celeste will stop, and then I will stop, and then she will keep talking. So, and I was thinking, what is happening here? And the thing is that in Mediterranean culture, we step each other all the time. And it's not about sexism or anything, like male, female, everybody, when we talk, we all talk at the same time somehow, no? And you need that other feedback constantly to create this dynamic conversation. And I think in the United States, it's more speech-oriented, like you talk, it's more organized. You talk, the other person talks, and then it's the same dynamic, but one after the other.
Wow, that's really interesting to me, because you're talking about an issue that I have. You know, I grew up, my paternal grandparents are Spaniards, so I grew up more with a Spanish kind of culture in my family than on my mother's side. And I know when I'm in conversation, it's exactly as you describe it. I want to intercede, you know, I want to interject. And
yes.
And I always feel terrible because
yes,
because from the American perspective, I'm being rude.
Exactly.
But yet it's how I grew up, so it's really hard for me to contain.
Exactly.
Wow, I never thought about that.
I think it's important that difference. Like, for example, it could be rude in a sense that you are a male, the other is a female, you are being sexist, you don't let the female talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can look terrible sometimes, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
In a way that, but it's cultural.
Is there anything professionally in the interaction with other artists, with galleries, with collectors that you see different in the U.S. from Europe?
Yeah, I do see it, and I think express, it's a correlation between how American society works, and I do think there's one thing that I do, finally I arrived to a conclusion in my own, maybe that's not
yeah.
the right one, but for example, in Europe we have a stereotype. Stereotypes are terrible, but sometimes it breeds some truth to it. No? But there's a stereotype where Americans are a little childish, like the way how they behave, and you know, like this is a stereotype. But then over the years, one thing I realized, and I saw it in an article where somebody was talking about a theory that says humans and chimpanzees, we are all very similar when we are kids, no? Like a human kid and a chimpanzee kid, they behave playing, no? Like they play, they learn playing, there's all these things. And then when the chimpanzees grow to an adult, the adult has no playing in them life. It's all like, you know, procreate or whatever. Or like it's very, or they do nothing. And the humans, because somehow they grow up immature, they keep playing. And that keep playing idea is what brings the creativity and you know, and these other, many other things that are great from humans. You know? And then my point is that in the United States, the people are extremely playful. They play all the time in many fields, and that's like they're never like with all what implies, which is a little childish behavior, which I think I see in myself. No, and I think it's like they don't take themselves that seriously, like Europeans. There's something in Europe that it's too heavy, you know, on the society for what we did. Terrible things and some probably good things. But I don't know, I see in the United States a playground with kids. But kids,
and for you, as an artist, that's a positive thing?
I think it's a positive thing because, mm-hmm. There's a lot of, in the art world, there's a lot of different joints, you know, to talking about you, with different, like, you don't only make a collection, you're making an idea of how that means for you, collection, you know, like education, mm-hmm. like there's all these fires that are in many different ways, and I think it's positive, that kind of, you know, like
well,
your walls. Remember your walls with the magnets?
Right. Uh-huh.
Fantastic. I love that. Yeah. So that's one mind. You know, that's your mind.
It's curious to me. I mean, you're really bringing so. I'm getting so much out of this conversation from you that's clarifying things for me personally. I've always seen a difference in my experiences when I interact with a European gallery versus an American gallery. But I think, in hearing you talk about this, I think what I'm responding to is the formality. Things are much more formal. They feel more formal to me when I'm in Europe.
Oh, in Europe.
And therefore, yes. When I'm engaged with others looking at, in the European scene, looking at drawings, there seems to be a seriousness.
Yes.
And not just a glance. There's a different kind of engagement that I feel there than I feel here. And I think you've just described it very well, and that clarifies it for me. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's like you organize this call. I'm getting.
No. Look, I'm trying to organize, like even to understand myself, because there's a lot of things that you need like time to. It's that digestion idea, no? Like why is that? Why? What's wrong with America? And what's great about America? So all these questions that you like, and I do think that there is one problem in the United States, to me very important. It's all based in money, like the money factor, capital is at that level. It's dangerous. That I will say about.
Yeah. No. I.
America.
No? It's pretty. It becomes more evident.
Yes.
You know, the commodification of art objects.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's one of the dangerous, more dangerous things that I've seen.
I agree with that totally. Let's talk about drawing.
Yes.
And I want to know how drawing fits into your artistry. I know you do a lot of drawing, but you also do painting. Are you doing sculpture?
When I see sculpture, I know I'm more like objects, things that are, like, let's say the cardboard, I will say it's an object to me.
I see. So that's more like sculpture to you, yeah?
Yeah, and the one you have, which is one of my favorites in that series, and not trying to be nice, it's true. I really think I like that one a lot. It has that object feeling to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I do, my objects are very close to painting or to... So they're not too far, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
like a step into another world,
mm-hmm.
the world of 3D, which is
right.
It's another thing.
Right. Okay, I understand. So, are you drawing every day?
because I will say yes. I draw mostly every day. Like I do, drawing is a big part of my process of doing things. Definitely. But drawing not only as a process of something else, like drawing as its own thing.
Do you keep a journal, or do you? Do you go to paper casually to just write down ideas and keep them? I mean, are you doing it outside of creating a piece of art? That's what I guess I'm interested in.
Okay. So that's a big question too, I think, because the professionalization of the artist, which I don't like it at all, this idea, like it's something that repulses me, no? Like when you are always doing things for things, no? I wish not always will be the case, but it's part of our reality, and that's fine. I accept it. But I do a lot of I do drawings. Well, I do work that I don't expect to go anywhere. You know, the laboratory, what they call, no?
Yes.
Even I love to, sometimes I draw natural, like go and, not now because I'm, but draw things without any big intention, just draw it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's fantastic.
So just playing with your imagination or letting your emotions out or thinking.
Yeah.
Spontaneously.
Exactly. Even like the opposite gesture of like doing a drawing with an intentional, you know, idea.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a drawing with any intention. Just doing a drawing or something and see what happens. And then you do it again. And like that, you know, going back to the roots idea, that it's nice. I would love to spend a year like that. I know it's impossible in those days, but it's nice, you know.
Do you save all of those?
Many they end in the garbage, I have to say. I don't know. No, not much. Not much. Because I used to be an assistant of another artist, before I came to the United States, and he will take every single thing he will do as the most important thing, and that was a thing that I used to see that, and I think that's nice, but at the same time I do think that it's a little too much, you know,
But you're not doing these things with the same purpose. It's part of your process to just, you know, your work is meticulous.
Yes.
It's so, it's a very precise technique.
Yes.
And that's physically and emotionally draining.
Yes.
And so there has to be something else in your practice that frees up your mind and body to play.
Yes, and it's in the painting world.
Okay, so that's where the painting comes in.
Painting world, yes. The painting, to me, I do a lot of things that are gesture, half a day thing. It's the painting is so extremely important to me in relationship with the drawing for that reason. That's why when I see like somebody like Richter, when he does these abstract things, like, you know, paintings, you feel like he probably was so needed for like, let it loose. It's
right.
And that happens to me. And that's why painting, for me, it's very important.
Interesting.
Not the cardboard painting. Cardboard is more. It's more about the object and it's the like gesture that I do a lot of things. Well, a lot, as much as I can, to try things and see. For example, now I'm like one of the things I'm trying, and it's not working yet, but you know those plastic little things that the ocean leave sand, and they all these forms are already erosionated or in near an abstracted object because the time passing in the so how to bring, because that object is already abstract, to paint that with a gesture and be more, you know, free. I'm trying to see what happened there. No, I'm not there yet. So through that process, I free myself.
Well, that's your, I mean, you do seem to have an interest in refuse, in, you know, the cardboard. I mean, how did you come to do cardboard? Because most people kind of throw it in the trash, right? So you're interested in the materiality, I guess.
I imagine. And I
or is it the shape, or what is it?
I'm trying to probably reach things that are, which is probably what Europe, what I'm trying to break from Europe. Well, even though it's not true, because there's this whole power movement that's... But this idea of non-value things to bring it to a different level,
mm-hmm.
I like this idea. It's probably a romantic idea, but it's something I'm always trying to... Like how to... I like this idea, how to design a waste, which is something that Trump is doing in this country.
Making it beautiful.
You can make it, you can elevate it. I don't know if
before
or not, no, but that word that you said before, elevating,
uh-huh.
it's the intention. No? But, for example, those objects from the ocean, those objects, if they will keep staying in the ocean, they will finally disappear or become little articles, which is the problem that we have, you know, because then the fish eats it. And,
right.
But,
well, the problem is they don't break down. They might change the shape or form, but they don't really break down.
They don't break down. Exactly.
The composition.
But the idea of stopping time of something that will keep,
mm-hmm.
you know, falling apart or changing, I like that.
Cool.
Another is,
is there a particular reading, a text, that you have embraced throughout your career as providing you with insight or wisdom that you that inspires you?
There's one book that is always in my the Tao Te Ching. That book, historical, it talks about the empty, like let's say in a wheel or like in a house, the walls, it's more important the empty space of the house than the walls.
Uh-huh.
That keeps the house. No, it's this whole Oriental philosophy, I think they call, I don't know, but it's to me it's always there. And I keep. And another one is, I don't know why.
Now tell me what that book is again. Is it a book on Tao?
Tao Te Ching. It's the Tao Te Ching. I can give you.
Send me an email with it.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, because I can.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
And then. There's one new person that it really moved me, and it's the Nobel Prize, the Stefana, I put the name in my paper because I never remember, Stefana Alexievich, and there's a book called Voices from Chernobyl, and she, to me, it's one of the persons that really touched me lately. And what she does is like when, from a disaster like Chernobyl happens, normally the history will write about the situation or the what happened and the effects of the radiation. But what she does is just goes to the people and the stories of the people, and through those stories explains the human side of a tragedy, no? It's fantastic.
Well, would you send both of those to me in an email?
I will.
I mean, not. I don't mean. Just give me the titles and the
yes.
and the authors. That would be helpful.
Yes, I will definitely do. This last one is like one that recently moved me.
Cool.
The way how she approached things, you know. It's
okay.
Very. It's like a journalist, but not. You know, it's very
mm-hmm. You know, we're out of time. I'm trying to be very disciplined,
yes.
but sometimes I feel like with some of these artists, I need part two. So let me think about that with you, because I feel there's so much more we could talk about. But this is I'm trying to frame this all within the idea of these graduate kids coming out of school. They've had all the pedagogy, but they have no clue what they're getting into. And
yes.
And I think the wisdom that someone like you puts forth here can really be like volumes of wisdom for them to kind of contemplate. So I'm very grateful. Please give my regards to your wife. And I'm watching your work all the time. Seems like you've been doing more painting. I haven't seen much from paper, but a lot of paintings lately.
Yeah, I will let you know when, because in theory I have this being in Aldi that postpone and they just say that like things are moving, or like every
right.
Every,
yeah. Well, I'm so grateful to you. I'm grateful to have your work in the collection, and speaking with you today has been a real joy. And I hope you stay safe. I hope you stay healthy. And one of these days we'll meet up, I hope. But I treasure that we have a relationship through art, and I think that's wonderful.
And just in my part, I want to say how important you and people like you for artists are. You know? So it's a great relationship. And
yes. Well, thank you.
Keep moving.
All right.
Thank you.
You be well.
Okay,
take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye.